بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Whilst we are in the masjid, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, we are safe from a lot of trials, a lot of wrongs, a lot of temptations and evils. And the actual trial is when you go back home. Here, sitting in Sunnat Aitikaf, you've got no access to the shops, to the malls, to places of entertainment, and whatever else. So all these places are blocked off from you for this duration. When it's blocked off, so you are saved from a lot of wrong, a lot of trials, a lot of trouble you are saved from. But now the real examination will be, when you come out of this environment, then how do you conduct yourself? Because invariably, you'll have to go to places, you'll have to interact, you'll have to do your business, and a lot of things you'll have to get involved in. So the Sahaba Kiram had inquired, Man Najat, what is the way to the safety? If you want to be saved now, then what do you do to be safe? And whenever you think of the Sahaba Kiram, the more you think of them, then they were people that were realistic, practical people. They didn't just ask questions for intellectual curiosity and pastime. You know. But they asked questions that were pertinent, that were genuine needs. And when Rasulullah was met to give them some piece of advice, they took it very, very seriously. Then they didn't take it lightly. So they asked, whatever they asked was just out of need. So Abdullah ibn Abbas says that they were a class of their own. You don't find a substitute for them, you don't find a replacement for them, they were a class of their own. In the entire Quran Sharif, if you page and see how many times they had asked Rasulullah, it's not more than 15 times. That's all they had asked. That was recorded in the Quran Sharif. So it was of genuine need that they had inquired when they inquired. And what they got from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they held on to it very, very strongly, very firmly. It's like a person that's inquiring about some direction. He's come to Spingo and he wants to know the road to the masjid, for example. So you direct him. And when you direct him, he's not going to ask unnecessary questions. Who said this and what's your proof? And how authentic are you? Are you a reliable person? And is this written in the kitab that this is the direction? So he's not going to ask these things. He will see from the surface that this person seems to be a good person. He will take his word for it and he will move. So the person that wants to do some work, then this is how his mind focuses. Okay, now I got that information, and I got enough, and I need to work, I need to go on. But the one that really is not looking for genuine guidance and genuine information, then he'll make 101 stories, why, when, how, should I? If I don't, then what? So he'll ask 101 stories. But the one that wants to do a thing, so tu hi na chahe, to bahana hazar hai. Where there's a will, there's not only a way, but there's a highway. And if you don't want to do a thing, then you can put 101 excuses. You can find 101 reasons for doing it. So the Sahaba Kiram, they had asked only pertinent questions to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They had heard, or perhaps they had seen, the troubles that go out in the world. Problems, difficulties, trials, and the different type of situations that go around the world. They had heard about it. So the obvious question would have been, now that we know that these are going to be the challenges, then what's the road for safety? We want to protect our deen, we want to protect our Islam, we want to protect our lives, the lives of our children to come. We want to do all that. Now, how do we go about getting the safety, the type of security? A lot of times nowadays, you get people having this dream that there's floods coming, or they're in the ocean and the wave is just taking them on. So generally, this type of dream refer to the floods and the waves of fitna. So people are being swept by the fitna. And they can't, sometimes they can't resist, sometimes they're passing through. So when these floods of fitna come, then it is everybody's work to be able to challenge that fitna. In fact, nine and a half out of 10 people, they get affected. Just a half percent of people that may be guarded against it. Otherwise, everybody gets swept. When it comes with a might, it comes with a force. And then you can't leave, you get swept off your feet. You think, everybody will think, no, I'll get saved. And the second person also thinks, I'll get saved. They say that Shah Jahan's pond, like how we have swimming pools, they used to have ponds. So the pond had dried out. So he had passed a royal decree that everybody must bring a bucket of milk. In place of water, I want this thing to be filled up with milk. Royal decree, so everybody had to comply. One person from some village, he thought, you know, I will go and deposit the milk at night. But in place of the milk, I will take a bucket full of water. Who's going to see at night? When it was morning, he went to see, the thing was full of water. Because everybody thought like how he had thought. So everybody thinks that at a time of trouble, you know, I can work out things, I can understand. I can read between the lines. I won't get caught in a television, I won't get caught in this. But we don't realize that we don't have that type of strength, that type of energy, that type of resistance. We don't have it. They say when the mud becomes too thick, then even an elephant can slip in the rush. So this is where we are today. The mud is so thick. If you are not getting affected, then your child is getting affected. If your child is not getting affected, then your wife is getting affected. If the wife is not getting affected, then your father is getting affected. Someone is getting carried. Someone is getting dragged into this. Then how long, how much do you put the brakes? How much you apply the brakes? Sometimes you don't want to do a thing, but then it's peer pressure that you are dragged into it. Many a times youngsters will come, well, I don't want to go to the hall because I know there's going to be something not going to be right there. Maybe there is, at some point, there's going to be mixing. Men and women are going to be mixing at some point, maybe at the entrances, maybe the exit, maybe the toilets, maybe at some point there's going to be interaction there. Or maybe there's going to be some music. Or maybe there's going to be something inappropriate. Something is going to go wrong. It's a wedding now. Sometimes there's going to be some type of resemblance with a kafir and a Christian wedding. Like how bride is walked through the aisle. So now all this is going to take place. And sometimes there's so much of resemblance, you know, sometimes you're afraid, you fear, that is the man's iman also safe or not? There's so many wrongs that go on. One person was telling me now, so the bride had to be walked through the aisle, and when the bride is walked through the aisle, then they have a certain type of a music that is playing. Now, apparently on both sides, there were some people that were dini conscious. Now, they can't have the music, so they have to substitute it with the recitation of the Quran. Now, see, that she's walked up now, and her hair is all open, disheveled, clear, and pure Christian culture, and then you're substituting it with the Quran Sharif. So sometimes you begin to fear, in loga ka iman bhi salim raha ya nahi? Is the iman safe, is the iman secure or not? So it becomes so difficult. Sometimes it happens that you don't want to do a thing, but it is pressure of the people that are around you that forces you in that direction. It's your name. I have to do something for my name. Just for this, just to guard your ego, your name, your integrity, you have to get in. And then, When you get in now, there's some videoing. And then every person will become a mufti sahab there. So now that Mullah said that videoing is permissible. Digital is permissible. So everybody becomes a mufti sahab. Everybody passes fatwas there. So now, who do you listen to? Do you listen or don't you listen? And if you listen to, then who do you listen to? So everybody comes. Just now you're in some place in the safar. And some South Africans around. So the imam was still verifying something. So one person is saying, imam must just carry on. He must just carry on. It's late now, he must just carry on. He can't delay this now. So he is giving his opinion against the imam. The imam is basing his moves on the ruling of the Sharia. What is the Sharia saying? And this person, what he's saying, so now he must just carry on. My feelings, he must carry on. He mustn't waste time. So when we get too heavily involved with people, programs, interactions, all that, then people, they want everything to happen with their own reasoning, with their own understanding. So the Sharia is left on one side, the Quran, the Hadith is left on one side, and my reasoning tells me do this, my understanding says me this, what's wrong in this? If the Arabs can do it, why can't we do it? So everybody got his own reasoning, own understanding, own reasoning, and on account of his own understanding, he feels what he's saying is right. The Arabs, they call the Eid today or tomorrow, so we should have the Eid also tomorrow. So now you become subject, you become a victim of your own reasoning and your own understanding. So now it becomes so difficult, so complicated, very, very complicated. Don't know what to do. You give in, then some of the Sharia scruples are being compromised. You don't give in, then you get ostracized from the whole family, from the whole people. People begin to ostracize you, they throw you out, you're an outcast. Now you don't know what to do, go this way or go that way. Both ways, you're in a catch situation. What do you do? One person, he had his only daughter getting married. So, being a banya and a very wealthy person, philanthropist, so he thought, no, I must do it. I must do it very well. Very, very well, I must do it. Because only one and only daughter, and I got the wealth of not South Africa, but I got the wealth of India. So when I got the wealth of India, then I need to do something. So he thought that at the end of this nikah, the end of the wedding, then I must give every guest, 1,000 guests he's got, and he must give every guest one gold coin, Kroger coin. So as it is, he was a very wealthy person. So over 1,000 people he entertained, and when he's very wealthy and all that, so he set them up also like how you got Baluti and all that. So that type of hotel, they set them up. Very five-star, higher than five-star. There was something like higher than five-star, that type of hotels. So the 1,000 guests at his own cost, he set them up. In India, when they have the wedding, it's not a one-day affair, it's a seven-day affair. One day is medley, one day is dancing, one day is acting and filming and all that. And one day they have that valance, you know, the bride side and the bridegroom, they come and clash the valance and all that. So it's the whole big affair. So all this he's done, and over and above all this, at the end, as the mehman are all leaving, so each one is getting a gold coin. So in the talk of the olden days where there was no trains and all that, no trains, no cars and all that. So as the mehman are leaving, so each one is getting a gold coin. And he's hiding somewhere in the bushes to hear if there's any positive comments, you know, people are complimenting him for what he's done, what a grand thing, you know, that he's put them up in such beautiful hotel, and then he's laid out the food for 7 days for them, and over and above all the mehman that came, each one got a gold coin. So the caravans are moving out, and nobody is giving any compliments. No compliments, no congratulations, no sense of appreciation, no thanks, nothing. 500, 800, 900, and then right towards the end, one person said to his... One person is saying to the other person, or the driver is telling the boss of the caravan that this wedding was one of its kind. You know, he housed us in the top hotels, then fed us for 7 days, then as we were moving out, then each person got a gold coin. So the boss saying, Sohre kahinke, is swearing him. Sohre is like a swear word, like Sohre kahinke. Agar wo ek ke bajaye 10 deta, koi iske khazane mein koi kami aati. If in place of one he gave 10, would his walls become any less? Only one he gave, anything he did a big thing. So, if you're going to be working with people, you're not going to get anywhere. What I'm getting at is, if that becomes the gauge, that people must compliment, people must praise, people must show appreciation, then you're not going to get anywhere. If 10 people are giving you compliments, one person has to run you down. So this is the world. Musa alayhi salam also asked Allah Ta'ala, Allah Pak, make it such that nobody speaks against me. So Allah Pak's reply was, when people haven't spared me, where will they spare you? They haven't spared God also. The atheists, what they're doing. So they haven't spared Allah Ta'ala, where are they going to spare you? So people are going to say things. So anyway, what I'm showing you is that complicated nature of this life. There's going to be problems all the way around. And we come here, and mostly our niyat is, we get some reformation, we get some correction, we get some direction in our lives. We go back at least, we go back with some understanding and some resistance that we can continue our lives in a better way than before. Some type of improvement, maybe even 20%, 30%, something as a start, we want some type of improvement, some type of lead in our lives. That's what we are here for. Life and death are things that are unpredictable, we don't know. So at least there is some start somewhere down the line. Somewhere we started something, and something that is positive, so that onward journey may not become a complicated journey. So that's the whole purpose, that we are more focused, we get some direction, we get some type of improvement in our lives. So this was the concern of the Sahaba Ikram, and they asked, Man Najah, what is that weight of safety? So Rasulullah has given a three-piece plan. The one part of it, the first element, Amlik alika lisanak. So he didn't say imlik, amlik. So in the Arabic language now, when you change this word with zabar, zir, etc., so there can be a drastic change in the meaning as well. So the meaning will be, you be in control of your tongue. You be in control of your tongue. Not that you allow your tongue to control you, but you be in control of your tongue. Therefore, the hadith says that when you get up in the morning, then the entire body pleads to the tongue, where you be straight and we'll be straight and we'll be safe. But you go off, the moment you go off, then it's a misdemeanor that is committed by you, but the entire body catches it. Tongue remains safe. If you swear someone, right, the tongue, no one will catch it. Nobody will take the tongue out and hit the tongue. But the entire body is going to catch it for that misbehavior of yours. The whole body is going to catch it. So you go straight, we'll all get safe. At the moment you go crooked, we will all catch it for you on account of yourself. One sahabi had asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam advice. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam pointed towards his tongue. Look after this. Mu'adh ibn Jabal wa Abu Dharr Ghifari radiyallahu anhu asked one long, it's a lengthy hadith where Rasulullah gives him a detailed advice. As-salatu imadu al-deen wa sadaqatu tutfi'u ghadab al-rab wa dhirwatu sinamihi al-jihadu fi sabilillah. So it's a lengthy hadith. Rasulullah explains about jihad, what is the position, and namaz, what is the position, that it's a pillar of deen, and sadaqah, it extinguishes and puts off the wrath and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the end, awala adulluka ala milaki dhalika kullihi. So they show you something that will guard all this, all your deen. Your whole deen will be guarded. Your namaz, your rosa. That's what we want, obviously. The moment we step in the qabr, then It's the aspiration of every Muslim that whatever I have done, Allah Pak must keep it safe and give it to me there. You don't want to be coming to the grave to realize that everything has been washed away. Because of some misdemeanor and some wrong, everything has been washed away. You don't want that to happen, right? So this sahab is inquiring, all right, when I'm in the qabr now, then everything must be guarded, you know. That zikr I made, that etikaf I made, that namaz, that hajj, that sadqa, whatever I did, everything must be secure. So something that will save all these things, whatever I'm doing, and it will just save it. Milak yadhalika kulli. Milak actually means something that bonds, like how you have cement, it bonds the whole thing, right? Like when you got cement now, it bonds the brick to the brick, everything is safe now. Otherwise, someone can push it off, right? But if it's cemented then it stands firmly. Awala adulluka ala milaki dhalika kulli. What will secure everything? So Nabi Sam pointed toward his tongue. So this sahabi, whether it was Mu'adh or Abu Dharr Ghifari, which other sahabi, he says, Ya Rasulullah, this tongue, this tongue, and it's so important. So Rasulullah tells him, woe to you, many people will be dragged on their face into Jahannam just because of their tongues. Just because of their tongue. What the tongues has mowed, you know, what the tongues has mowed down. Because when the tongue is left loose, it mows everything and anything. Anything comes on its way, it just mows it down. So people are dragged on their faces into Jahannam just because of their tongue. That they did so much, but then their tongues had the better over them. They misused their tongues, and all what they had gained, everything is gone. So therefore, Nabi Sam is indicating towards the tongue. And it is a very dangerous thing, like it is a very powerful instrument, very powerful, it's very powerful, right? You know, tongue, you can say, the same thing, the tongue you can say today nowadays, media, tongue, all is the same thing, right? Because it's the means or it's the avenue to publicize something that is to be propagated, publicized, exposed. What is the means to publicize and expose it is the tongue. So we may wonder now why so much of emphasis just on the tongue. Look at it. A man had been a Muslim 70 years of his life. One day, unfortunately, he used a word of kufr and disbelief. What has happened to his 8 years ibadat? Everything has been demolished, right? Hasn't it? Man has been married for 60 years. One day he told his wife, talak, talak, talak. What happens? Just one day, in one breath, in 30 seconds. And what happened to the 30 years of 60 years of marriage? Finish kalas. You see the tongue, how important it is. You got a long-standing friendship with someone, and one day you must turn around, yeah, you're a cheat. That's what he must say, you're a cheat. You're a traitor. What happens to the friendship? The whole friendship is gone. Now you can't ask for the friendship to be restored. Finish, gone. Therefore they say, Jarahatul jinani laha iltiamu. When someone hurts you physically, right, it can be fixed up, physical. But when it is verbal, then that thing got no treatment. It can't be fixed. When it's a physical problem, you hurt physically, you hurt bodily, you can't fix that problem up. One person was teaching his son. In the old days, this Arabic madrasas, etc., senior madrasas, this higher level madrasas, we're not so organized like how we have it. Now we have boardings and all that, exams and all that. So therefore, informally, people used to teach their children. So one person went to one Hakim. The Hakim was a Mulana as well. And that Hakim was instructing his child, teaching his child some kitab. So the same poetry came, Jarahatul jinani laha iltiamu. When it is a bodily harm, you know, you can't fix it up. But the verbal harm, you can't fix it up. So the child couldn't understand it. Anyway, this person offered to teach the child while the Hakim Sahib prepared his medication. The olden days, the Hakims and all, they're making medication, they grinding the medication, adding the paste, all that, so it takes time. So he told the Hakim Sahib, "No, I'll teach your son. I promise that this poetry that he doesn't understand, I will make him understand this, but you get my medicine prepared." So the Hakim Sahib went to get the medication prepared, and now he has to teach this child this one line. So as the father went away, so now he's telling the child, "You dog, you good for nothing, fat old donkey." The child went red on the face. So anyway, now when the Hakim Sahib came back, the child is still red on the face. So the child wants to know, all right, one is, why did you swear me like this? And the second is, you're supposed to give me the explanation of this poetry. So this sick person that came said, "This, what I have done now, that was the explanation." You see, he's asking now the child, "Make me maaf, man. You know, I said these things. I said, you're fat donkey, you're good for nothing, sitting on your rolls, just eating. So make me maaf now, please. Give me a maaf." So, "No, I can't be made maaf. How can I make it maaf? You think I got a stone, I got a heart, I got feelings. I think I'll forget this, I can't forget this." So, well, this is the explanation of the poetry, that verbal statements can't be forgotten. Though physical injury, you can forget it. But a verbal injury, you can't forget it. So this is the meaning. So now, I had to demonstrate it to you for you to be able to appreciate it. Had I not demonstrated it, you would have not appreciated it. So these verbal things are so bad, so bad. And the shaitan looks for ways. He looks for ways somehow to incite. Now, in three places in the Quran Sharif, same type of theme has been repeated. قُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْزَغُ بَيْنَهُمْ اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. Three places in the Quran Sharif. That shaitan, he takes a keen interest in causing discord between brothers, families, friends, Muslims, in sowing discord. It takes a very keen interest. He likes to see that. So the ilaj for that, the Quran Sharif says, قُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي أَحْسَنُ. Say good words. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. And this was not something that is just confined to our Shariat, even to the Bani Israel. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. Say good words. Even if it is the truth that you are talking, but say it in a nice way, in an acceptable way, in a way that it will go down his system very easily, very comfortably. He will be able to take it nicely. They say that the king had a dream that all his teeth had fallen off. So he called one of his wazirs, "What is the interpretation of this dream?" So the wazir says, "Well, all your children will die before your eyes." The king got very, very upset with him, and he changed him away. He called a more senior wazir. "But I saw this dream, what is the meaning of it?" So, "Alhamdulillah, what a beautiful dream. What a beautiful, mashallah, Allah will give you such a long life that you will outlive all your family." Same thing he said. The message was the same, but he presented it differently. The king gave him a gift. That you said the same thing, but you said it nicely, respectfully. See? So it's how you conduct yourself. The king's mother was telling the king, "You know, you mustn't just get married anybody and everybody. We'll look for you, and the appropriate person will look for you. You can't just get married to anybody, everybody, just pick up someone on the street because of the beauty and just get her into marriage. No. You look at morals, ways, behavior, values, all that. Then you take a woman into it, because tomorrow she's going to be the mother of your children." So the mother told, "All right, I'll give you a way how you're going to make out the morals. You've got three wives here now, you know. You've got three wives. And how you're going to make out that the one has got real values, real good values and good mannerisms, you know." So anyway, the king asked the first wife, "How do you make out now that Fajr time has come in? Subh Sadiq has ended." The first one says, "When I see I see some special type, unique type of a splendor and radiance on the diamond of my ring. I make out now the Sobha Sadiq has come in. So, first one is gone. Second one comes in. How do you make out that the Fajr Namaz time is coming? King is asking her in quiet. That other, she doesn't know what the first one said. You know, when I get a nice, cool breeze, you know. And really, just at that time, you find some nice, cool breeze going out. Perhaps it's a special gift of Allah Ta'ala at that time, coming to the earth. So I make out now that Fajr time has just ended, or Fajr time has just started. So he asks the third one, okay, how do you make out that Fajr time has just ended? So that means, jab ghu nikalta hai. So the mother told her, see, you don't just get married anybody, any someone that's got brains, some values, some understanding, you know. Now, just take anybody from the street and just get married to them. So this is the type of, woman you will get. They must have morals, they must have respect, they must have some system, they must have some mannerisms. Because as, like I say, that's going to be the mother of your children. So she, if she's right, then your children will get the right direction. They'll think right, they'll behave right, they'll have good mannerisms, good ways, good conduct. But if she's upside down and she's her tongue is so upside down, what's going to happen to the children tomorrow? So the first thing that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi is speaking about here is Amlik Alayka Lisanak. You will be in control of your tongue. And Shaitan, like I said, he takes a keen interest in what? In sowing discord. And discord through the tongue. He just has to spur you up, you know. Well, who is he? What does he think of himself? How can he say this type of word? You are a man also. You should also speak. You should also defend your integrity. Otherwise, you today, he's taken you today for a ride. Tomorrow, he'll take someone else. So at least you must stand up and put him in his place. So Shaitan is spurring you up. He's inciting you. And the problem is that Mr. Shaitan, you can't see him. You can't see him and he's not dying also. But he's always inciting. And each person he incites according to his level, you see. The weak-minded according to his level, the intelligent according to his level, everybody. Even the intelligent, like you see, most of the scientists, right, they go to atheism, right. So Shaitan hasn't left them as well. If it was just the brains that could have brought you to guidance, then this class of people would have been most on hidayat. But unfortunately, they are furthest away from hidayat. This class of people, they are the furthest away, furthest away. So it shows that hidayat is a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not your brain. It's not just your akal that will give you that hidayat. So, this amlik alayka lisanak. One level of fight and problem is within the house. Shaitan is inciting. So the famous hadith which says, the Shaitan puts his throne on the sea, and on the seabed, and he takes a report of what has happened, the events throughout the day, what has happened. Each one comes and gives his report. This is my achievement, this is what I have done for the day. Now this person, I made him speak a lie. Alright. It's good, but not so. Not a train smash, not a big deal now. You, what you did, no, no. I made him miss his namaz. Alright, it's alright, but not a big thing. Until one Shaitan comes from the corner and he says, you know what, I have done. I incited the husband against the wife and the wife against the husband. Kept on inciting. He's saying something and she says something. So the husband thinks all the time, no, I must make her think right. You know, she's thinking all crooked, upside down. So I need to make her think right. Now we don't understand. You know, if we can just understand this principle, woman are not to be understood, they are to be loved only, that's all. And we think now there must be understanding, you must understand, you know, get them right, straight. See, like, I thought about this statement, you know, they must be understood, don't worry about understanding them, they must be loved only. Like now, you're eating chicken, right? You must just love the chicken, right? This, that. But you want to understand how it was, the composure, what it ate, the fur that it took, all that. Then you won't eat anything then. What do you eat? You won't eat anything. You're going to look at the end product and enjoy it, finish, khalas. You're not going to look how it was made, what was the composure, why, when. You're not going to look at all that. If you look at all that, then you're not going to eat even beans, you're not going to eat. Because you know that manure when you need to eat. You won't eat anything. So you just enjoy it and just at that point, cut off. Don't look beyond that. If you look beyond that, then you won't eat anything. So, same with women. You must just love them. Not all women, your wives now. You have to give tafsir, everything, you know. Everything you have to give tafsir. People's minds go everywhere. To love them, don't stress about understanding them. Don't understand. You want to understand them, then you don't want to get anywhere. So, shaitan incites the husband against the wife, and the wife against the husband. Until he's created a separation. Now, she's gone to her mother's place, and he's at his place. Now, shaitan, what he's done actually, he's created a factory of gunas. Because if she's in her mother's place now, all her friends and folks are going to come, right? And she'll say, yeah, this day he did this, and this day he did this, and this is how he messed up things, and this is what he talks about, this is his behavior. And, you know, you people, you landed me in a problem. What a type of a husband I've got. So he's one side, and she's one side. Children are all in between. Some by the mother, some by the father. Everything, the whole thing is torn apart. Right? Then obviously, it's going to be carrying tales. The tales won't go well if there isn't any exaggeration. There must be some exaggeration. Some masalas and exaggeration to excite the story. He's going to say, no, he did this. He used this word, you're stupid. That's all. You just let it sound very, very, very simple. Then it doesn't sound so serious. See, you know what he told me? You know, the whole day I worked and I prepared the food and left it before him with a lot of respect and muhabbat. And then he had the heart to say, you're a stupid fool. Now see how they can exaggerate the whole thing. See? So without the exaggeration, there's no excitement. So she will say things exaggerated, he will say things exaggerated. Now this is not just ghibat in isolation. It's group ghibat. It's a group. A group ghibat. Yeah, it's group. The whole group is involved in ghibat. The whole group is, groups and groups of people are involved in ghibat. Then, obviously, there must be some false allegations in that as well. Because to make my story sound more pertinent and more true, then there must be some lies also involved. Right? So it's another guna. Then, apart from that, both families are not talking with each other. So their du'as are getting rejected. Their du'as are not accepted, this one's du'as are not accepted. Then they are harboring malice and ill feelings in their hearts against them, they are doing the same for them. So, when Allah Ta'ala announces forgiveness in the week twice Allah Ta'ala announces forgiveness for everybody, these people's forgiveness is left in suspense, no forgiveness for you all. So you're deprived everywhere. Above you're deprived, and on the earth you're deprived. Both ways you're deprived. Then, beyond that, now there's a separation. There's a lengthy period of separation. When there's a lengthy period of separations, then you can't rule out the fact that he doesn't have emotions and feelings. Both he and she, they have emotions and feelings. So if they can't fulfill their lust and their emotions in a halal way, what's going to happen? It's going to be done in some haram way. So you see, this type of discord and fight, shaitan takes a keen interest, very keen interest in this thing here, because you can see what's going to come out of this, what's going to spark off this. Hazrat Jir Hamza explained once, one person used to come to him and always complain, his wife is giving him uphill, always. Like I say, the women are supposed to be loved, not understood. So you're going to try to understand them, you're going to cause problem for yourself. If you understand, the hadith says, clearly they are 2 pence short, right? They are 6 pence short, 2 pence, naqisatul aqal, they are short. So they must behave short. If they are short, then they must be. That's logical. That's expected that they're going to behave like that. So you expect them to behave absolutely normal. They're going to work out. Don't you see now you have to go back home now, right? So you come to your mother's place or something, or she comes to her mother's place, now you have to leave. Now in that aujo, half an hour comes out in that. Come again, we'll see, what about that recipe, whatever else. Are you hooting outside? the rest of Mulana, I think I still have to make Musala of my kitabs. What time is this thing going to come out from here? That Aujoma, they taking another half an hour. Are you getting worked up? Doesn't it work you up? It works you up. Now, in that work up now, you need to understand, all right, they are women, and they're going to behave like that. It's expected of them to behave like that. It's not something that is beyond reasoning. It's so you have to be one smarter, how you must do, plan it, that you must plan yourself that you're going to leave 1.5 hours earlier. So they're going to pull half an hour, and you pull them for 1.5 hour. So it'll just balance off. But now you want to take it off, you're leaving at 11 o'clock sharp. So that 11 o'clock sharp means 12 o'clock. So you must say, now we're leaving at 10 o'clock. So you balance up in between. So they are crooked, so you have to work a little bit crooked with them, then you come right. And work absolutely straight, it's not going to come. Many a time, I think, you know, young people, when they get married, I get frightened. They don't know how to conduct themselves, really. Really young. And moreover, people that have only got book knowledge, whether it is the madrasa, whether it is university, but they only got book knowledge. No exposure, no experience, no interaction, no understanding how to apply the book knowledge. They don't have it. When they don't have it, now they cause problems. But if you've got some, besides the book knowledge, you've got some practical knowledge. How the thing is placed, what do we do here? So this person used to complain to his wife is giving uphill all the time. So as they gave them some tips. This village people, it's easy to talk to them. You tell them whatever you tell them and they will do it. Gave some tips. The next time that he came in, about a month, 2 months later, whatever, he had a broad smile from one ear to the other ear. Big smile on his face. So Azad caught up that something's going on here. Okay, Azad asked him, what happened now? How's everything at home? He said, hey, Azad is just working out very fine. What happened? So now when I went home, then she started giving it to me again. So like you told me, then I just went out. And then I came in again. Then I just grabbed her, gave her some kisses, whatever else. And I told her, you know what? Those gems and those flowers, you know, those roses that were coming out. I just want a few more of that, you know. So beautiful, the scent, the beauty, the shape, the color, the texture was so good, you know. I just want a few more of that. So she laughed and I laughed and everything ended up, finished. But now the same thing, you say now, you can start analyzing. Yeah, you told me I'm good for nothing. And all this house and this comforts and where you got it from? You went from Umrah, who facilitated all that? Now you're taking it word for word. Then there's going to be problems afterwards. Yeah, you're counting your favors upon me. You just give me reminders of your generosity. What about what I did? So it's going to be word for tit for tat. It's not going to work out. So a little bit of understanding how to work with them. A little bit of understanding. So he says, well, this worked out too fine for me. Now the life is like Jannat now. But you see this interaction with Buzruganadin, Awliya Ikram, what they look is, they look for a better quality of life for yourself. But that is now, if you have some interaction with them, you go and relate to them, you know, periodically you go and relate to them, this is what's happening, what do I do? See, where we go wrong is an old Gujarati saying, you know, they say that you either be the perfect person, right, or you rather follow someone. But the dangerous thing is that you're not the perfect person, you don't have it, you're not perfect, you're not too experienced, and you don't want to follow anybody. You are in between. So you don't want to acknowledge that you don't have that perfection. And you don't want to just follow. You are in between. Like how you get the Salafiyat. The problem is the same. That you're not that imam where you can bring and arrive to your own conclusions. Nor do you want to subject yourself to someone else. You want to pretend to be something, whereas you're nothing. So that's where the problem goes. So if we can just understand that we're nothing, we still have to follow someone, right? It goes very well. You either know it, right? Cooking, for example, now, you know it very well. All the finer aspects of cooking, how to amend, adjust things, put one masala this year, whatever else. You got a good hold of cooking, right? You don't have to follow anybody. You're a master, you understood it very well. And if you haven't understood it, then learn it from someone. Be under someone's guidance and learn that thing. But you don't know it and you don't want to follow, then you're going to cause problems for everybody. The husband is going to be always going to be up in arms against the wife. So that's the problem. We don't know it and we don't want to follow. So this is the first thing that Rasulullah speaks about, Amlik alayka lisanak. The second thing that he speaks about is وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكَ. Just remain in your homes. Don't go out unnecessarily. See, when the fitnas, like I said, the fitnas are at that level, they're coming, they're soaring, they're coming with a force. And then nobody can stand. You can't withstand that fitna. It's coming with such a might. Right? I often give this example. Like it's a January period, a holiday period, a nice and hot summer day, and then you say to your friend at about 10, 11 o'clock in the day, we'll go for a stroll on the beach, right? Is that the right thing? Because you're going to see 90% of people in their birthday suit, isn't it? Right? 90% of the people will see that. So, you know, I'm just going there to see the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, the waves and all that. You're going to see that, but your eyes are going to fall, always going to fall somewhere else. You're not going to find the right things. You know it's like that. Oh, it's a mall and there's a sale on now. Something is going at 1/10 the price. Now it's going to be choked. That place is going to be choked. You're going to be rubbing shoulders with women, right? Or you're going to the souk. You're going to be rubbing shoulders with women. They're going to be rubbing shoulders with you. You know it. You know it. They know it. Either shoulders or either back to front, front to back, whatever is going to happen. Right? Even in the tawaf, I suggest that when there's a crowd, then the woman not supposed to be going inside in the inner circle. They must go right to the outer circle. Although it will take them 2 hours more, but it's better to do that. Because people come and complain to me. They come and complain to me. There was a man was about to divorce his wife until I explained to him. He says, I was in the tawaf, and after the tawaf was over, then came back home. My wife says that while in the tawaf, caught up in the crowd and the people are playing on the breast. Now, it's the stupidity of the husband as well. You can see now the crowd is choking, right? When the crowd is choking, you're not supposed to be going inside. Go right on the outside so you've got some control over the situation. Right? The woman is weaker. She can be pushed. Someone can be interfering. And she knows, the woman can make out what the person is doing. So that person is interfering with me. So why didn't you speak? I couldn't speak at that time. I was too cold at that time. I couldn't say anything. But now you're going for ibadah, you're going for something else. Now he was on the verge of divorcing. So I told him, but it's not her fault. But it's your stupidity and her stupidity that at that time you're not supposed to be making tawaf. Or if you had to make tawaf, right on the outer circle, not in the inner circle. So, and this is the situation that is going on. Now you know it's a sale that is going on. And you're going, taking your wife. Someone's going to eye at her. Someone's going to bump into her. Someone's going to rub shoulders against her. And everybody's niyat is going to be his own. It's going to be his own niyat. Now, obviously, your wife is not a public property. It's your property. It's not public property that everybody was going to take that enjoyment out of her. So you know it's going to be like that. All right, you rather pay that 100 rands more and buy it more expensive at the corner shop, or after the sale is gone. Everything is subsided, everything is gone, cleared up. And now it's one of the weekdays, not weekends. So you can see now the shop is going to be empty. And the price is double, whatever. It's cheaper to buy it like that. Rather than you having this sorrow for the rest of your life, you rather double the price and save your integrity and your deen, etc. So this, وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكَ, remain in your homes. You go out of your home now, you're going to be exposed to something. You're going to be caught up. Something is going to pull you, something is going to drag you, something or the other, right? The safest haven, safest place is your home. Right? You are safe there and you're absolutely free. Even if you're booking out in a hotel, burgs and all that, you're not so free. You're not absolutely free to do what you want. In your home, you're absolutely free. Absolutely free. So you've got no restriction, nothing is tying you up. But the moment you're in someone else's home or some hotel, whatever else, then you don't have the total freedom. Right. Apart from all that, now you're going to these places and you've got your children as well. Children will be children, obviously. And they want to explore, they want to adventure, they want to do something. They're going to mix up with others. Right? There's going to be a different culture out there in those hotels, wherever else. Now you're coming back and your children have picked up something of those. And you don't even notice it that they have picked it up. Now to rub it out of the system, that becomes a problem. So, وَلْيَسَعْكَ بَيْتُكَ, just stay in your home. Remain in your home, don't move around. You see, once the eye is set on something, then the body becomes enslaved to it. See, your eyes are set on something. You saw that furniture, you saw that appliance, you saw whatever else you saw in a shop or in a bazaar, whatever else, you saw it or your wife saw it. So until they don't get it, they feel that, no, there's something short, we need to get it. So you're enslaved, no? It's an enslavery. You enslaved yourself. The eyes set on it, now you're enslaved to it. But you didn't see the thing, it's out of your mind. But the moment you saw it, now you want it. Craving for it. Until you don't get it, then you'll feel very, very uneasy. See? The Quran also says, لا تمدن عينيك. Don't stretch your eyes. Don't stare at these things. People, what we have given to other people, you don't stare at this thing. Because you want to stare at it, then you want it. You saw someone's Porsche came out, 2012 model, right? Top of the range. So what you want? You also want to have it. But in the meanwhile, if you look at your life, everything is carrying on. Vehicle is to take you from A to B. That thing is carrying on. But no, he's got a Porsche, I need to have that Porsche. So you enslave yourself. Until you don't get that, then you feel uneasy. You feel restless. But where it started from? It started from the eye. Because the eyes, it enslaves you. So you stay in your home. Unless you don't go out. They say of Ganguly Sahib Rahmatullahi, when you're studying at Delhi, so he used to avoid the road to the madrasa that was leading through the bazaar. There was two roads. One is through the bazaar, and there was another side road through the jungle or something. It was a little bit of an isolated road. So he used to take that isolated road, not the street that was going through the bazaar. Someone asked him, so why? He says, no, if you want to go through the bazaar, there's all the type of things, some mitaya, some sweetmeats and whatever other things. And all the time, we can't afford to buy all these things here. But in the meanwhile, if I'm going to go through these bazaars, my heart is going to get tied into this thing. Now, like you go through a bakery, right? The thing is just coming out of the oven. Don't you feel, it's natural, you crave for that thing. The smell coming out, donuts are just coming out. You see that thing and you just put that fresh cream onto it and some strawberry on top and all that. What happens? So, you crave for that thing. Or you're going somewhere, you know, and they're just doing the bribe. Right, you're just doing the brine, they've got the brine on the plate, got some lemon and some whatever else. So how don't you feel for it? So your mind is going to be stuck up in this thing. Now you can't concentrate the way you need to concentrate in your work. You can't concentrate because you looked at it. When you look at it, until you don't get it, heart feels uneasy. But you didn't look at it, otherwise it's out of the system. You didn't see it, it's not in your system. But the moment you saw it, now you want it. When you want it, then you can't concentrate. When you can't concentrate, now you feel lost out in your ibadah, zikr, you can't concentrate. How are you supposed to? Where are you supposed to be giving your heart to? You can't give your heart to. You didn't see that woman, that's all right. But the moment you saw her, jab ke dekha maine tujhko, to when I saw you and you saw me, see, then everything happens after that. Then everything starts off at that place. Before you could see her and she could see you, nothing was. There was nothing. When I saw you and you saw me and everything, then now, aashiqui aa gayi. But he says, jab ke dekha maine tujhko, to aashiqui aa gayi. So he says, before that I didn't know what was love. Now, but when I saw you, so I immediately understood what is love, what is romance. You see that you become captivated to these things. You become a slave to these things. And until you don't get that, then you feel uneasy. You must have that. Then your mind is at ease, you're relaxed. Your nerves are right. And you don't have it, you can't. Your nerves are not working. So the best thing is then what? These things are going to happen. You're not going to put a stop to drugs. Can you put a stop to it? You're not going to put a stop to women and them, the way they were carrying on, the way they're dressing around. So you're not going to put a stop to it. But the thing you can do is look after yourself. And the only safest haven you got is stay in your own home. Rather, plant beans and potatoes in your backyard. And potatoes are not right, then put plant sweet potatoes. You'll enjoy it at least. Eh? Healthier. Do that, that's better than you going out. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib kare. The last one was, وَلْيَبْكِ عَلَىٰ خَطِيَتِكَ, and cry over your sins. InshaAllah, some other time we'll explain that as well. InshaAllah.